A few days ago, I tested positive for the flu. And the doctor said I would not be contagious come Sunday, but I've been keeping my distance just to be safe. But having the flu means that it hasn't been a fun week in the Booked or Dara house. There's been lots of medicine, lots of hand washing, lots of napping, lots of Kleenex. But there's also been a lot of movie watching. I've watched Mulan, Robin Hood Men in Tights, Ford versus Ferrari, and The Princess Bride. So we've covered all the genres here. But I gotta plug just one of them. And if you haven't seen The Princess Bride, I highly recommend it. And you're a little overdue. It came out in the late 80s, and it's a fairy tale of sorts that really gets better with age. It's about Princess Buttercup and her servant Wesley, who silently loved her. And after Wesley disappears, Princess Buttercup ends up engaged to the evil Prince Humperdinck. And this forced marriage is scheduled to take place in this grand cathedral. Perhaps you've watched the scene. It's the best. It begins with magnificent organ music, and all the people in the pews are dressed in regal splendor. And the bride and the groom arrive at the altar. And then the camera zooms in on the bishop. And the magnificent music concludes. And the bishop opens his mouth to say, "Marriage. Marriage is what brings us together today. And love, true love, will follow wherever you go. Do you have the wings?" The first time I saw this scene, I laughed so hard that I cried, and every time I watch it, it brings a huge smile to my face. Whether I have the flu, whether I'm just reminiscing or referencing it, which I do pretty much every Valentine's Day and anniversary. But in the end, Princess Buttercup doesn't marry Prince Humperdinck. And as the movie unfolds, Princess Buttercup looks back on her earlier days, and she realizes that every time she barked an order at Wesley, his response was the same. He would say, "As you wish." He was her servant, so he really couldn't say much more. But Buttercup finally realizes that whenever Wesley says to her, "As you wish," he was really saying so much more. She eventually grasps the truth. Whenever Wesley says, "As you wish," she understands not only what Wesley said, but what he meant. And what he meant was, "I love you." In our scripture today, we have to use the same lens, because we have to understand not only what Jesus said, but what Jesus meant. In Matthew's gospel, we hear Jesus preaching his famous Sermon on the Mount, and the sermon is well underway when we read our verses for today. We spent the last 2 weeks looking at the earlier portions of the Sermon on the Mount with the Beatitudes, and then last week with salt and light. But in the section we hear today, I think Jesus is asking us not only to listen to what God said, but to also ponder what God meant. You see, Jesus quotes a series of commandments which were spoken by God through the prophets or through Moses. And from our study of the Bible, most of us are familiar with some of these commandments, and especially with our Ten Commandments, where God says, "Don't have other gods before me. Keep the Sabbath holy. Honor your father and your mother. Don't steal, don't kill, don't commit adultery. Don't covet what your neighbor has. Tell the truth." The ancient people, God's chosen people, they wrote down what God said. And that's how we have our Ten Commandments and the other commandments that the Hebrew people followed and many Jews still observe today. And this portion of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus makes it clear that those of us who are called to his community of disciples must learn not only to listen to the words that God says, but also to take seriously what God meant. And to more fully understand and appreciate the text for today and Jesus' new commandments about murder and lust and adultery, we need to read the verses immediately prior to the commandments in today's text. We need to hear verse 17, verse 19, before we begin with verses 21 through 37 that we read earlier. These verses say, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. Whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven." It follows these words that Jesus starts to articulate his personal code of morality. And it all begins with an attitude toward the law. The purpose of the law, of the commandments, has always been to call us into a relationship with God that's defined by sincere love and trust and obedience that comes from the heart. The new law that Jesus brought about, or rather the fulfilled law, the complete law, is not blind. Rather, it sees with incredible clarity right through to the dignity and humanity of all people. You see, these aren't just rules. They're guidelines that help us respect the people that God cares about. And Jesus knows that sometimes we'll follow the letter of the law without grasping the entire spirit of the law. And because of that, Jesus says, "You've heard it said this, but I say to you that." We get a whole list of these in this portion of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus starts by saying, "You've heard it said you should not murder, but I say to you, don't even hold on to anger. If you're angry, reconcile with others. And you've heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, if one of your eyes causes you to lust, tear it out. And if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off." Whew. At first glance, it sounds like Jesus is laying more of the weight of the law upon us. But it's not that Jesus is making more laws for the sake of laws or hefting rule after rule upon us. Instead, Jesus is saying that other people matter. He's reminding us that everything we do is supposed to be for the bettering of community, for strengthening one another. Don't enter lightly into divorce. Don't just avoid adultery, but try not to lust. Remember that those who you lust after are also created in the image of God. Not murdering people is not enough. Try to rid your life of anger. Make peace with those whom you've offended. Be kind. When we look at all the verses together, I think what Jesus is reminding us is that the law is about people. The law is about community, about living with God, living with others. It all comes down to taking care of one another and living together well. When God gives us commandments, God's not imposing rules for rules' sake. If we pay attention to what God means, if we see that everything God asks us is for our good and for the good of others. When God says, don't kill, don't steal, don't lust, don't lie, don't cheat, let go of your anger, God means, I love you. I love you, so let me change your heart as well as your hands. Let me change your feelings as well as your behavior. Let me change your attitudes as well as your actions. Nothing about this is easy. But that's why the Lord calls us together in the community of the church, so that we can work together, encourage each other, so that together we can learn to respond to God. As you wish. Amen.